The voice faded away into a deep breath, as of one sleeping, and the open eyes closed again. By this time the sun had risen, and we were all in the full light of day. Dr. Van Helsing placed his hands on Mina's shoulders and laid her head down softly on her pillow. She lay like a sleeping child for a few moments, and then, with a long sigh, awoke and stared in wonder to see us all around her. "Have I been talking in my sleep?" was all she said. She seemed, however, to know the situation without telling, though she was eager to know what she had told. The professor repeated the conversation, and she said, "Then there is not a moment to lose. It may not be yet too late." Mr. Morris and Lord Godalming started for the door, but the professor's calm voice called them back.
"Stay, my friends. That ship, wherever it was weighing anchor whilst she spoke. There are many ships weighing anchor at the moment in your so great port of London. Which of them is it that you seek? God be thanked that we have once again a clue, though whither it may lead us, we know not. We have been blind somewhat, blind after the manner of men, since when we can look back we see what we might have seen looking forward, if we had been able to see what we might have seen. Alas, but that sentence is a puddle, is it not? We can know now what was in the Count's mind when he seized that money, though Jonathan's so fierce knife put him in the danger that even he dread. He meant escape. Hear me, escape. He saw that with but one earth-box left, and a pack of men following like dogs after a fox, this London was no place for him. He have take his last earth-box on board a ship, and he leave the land. He think to escape, but no, we follow him. Tally-ho, as friend Arthur would say when he put on his red frock. Our old fox is wily, oh, so wily, and we must follow with wile. I, too, am wily, and I think his mind in a little while. In meantime we may rest and in peace, for there are waters between us which he do not want to pass, and which he could not if he would, unless the ship were to touch the land, and then only at full or slack tide. See, and the sun is just rose, and all day to sunset is to us. Let us take a bath, and dress, and have breakfast, which we all need, and which we can eat comfortably, since he be not in the same land with us."
Mina looked at him appealingly, as she asked, "But why need we seek him further when he's gone away from us?" He took her hand and patted it as he replied,
"Ask me nothings yet. When we have breakfast, then I answer all questions."
He would say no more, and we separated to dress. After breakfast, Mina repeated her question. He looked at her gravely for a minute, and then said sorrowfully,
"Because, my dear, dear Madam Mina, now more than ever must we find him, even if we have to follow him to the jaws of hell."
She grew paler as she asked faintly, "Why?"
"Because," he answered solemnly, "he can live for centuries, and you are but mortal woman. Time is now to be dreaded, since once he put that mark upon your throat."
I was just in time to catch her as she fell forward in a faint.